Hello, everyone. We start with our first batch of news items, the first two which have a decidedly soggy theme about them. Five Norfolk MPs have waded into a row over boat tolls, telling the Broads Authority its hikes in fees are exorbitant. The MPs have written an open letter urging the organisation to urgently reconsider its recent decision to impose a substantial increase in fees for the second year running. Last week, members of the authority voted for a rise of 8.5% in tolls. It follows a 13% increase last year, which means boaters will face what will effectively be a 22.6% rise over 2 years. It means the fee for a larger hire boat will have risen from £1,628 to £1,996 in that period, creating significant additional costs for yards, who reported a significant downturn in trade this summer. The decision has prompted anger from the hire firms and other businesses, as well as private boat owners, with fears it could have a devastating impact on the waterways tourism industry and force many people to give up their boats. The open letter has been coordinated by North Norfolk MP Duncan Baker. It has also been signed by fellow Conservatives Richard Bacon, MP for South Norfolk, Sir Brandon Lewis, Great Yarmouth, Jerome Mayhew, Broadland, and Chloe Smith, Norwich North.
Norfolk's new £121 million bridge has increased the risk of flooding on the Broads, official documents show. A report commissioned by Norfolk County Council when it was considering building the Herring Bridge across the Yare in Great Yarmouth acknowledged that the structure would lead to an increase in water depths on the floodplain during a flood event. This was because the bridge is built on two abutments, or knuckles, which narrow the river by more than a third, restricting the amount of water that can flow out to sea. The 2019 documents have surfaced after people living in Broads villages suggested the extensive flooding they have suffered in recent weeks could be partly due to the bridge. The council insists the crossing is not a significant factor and has pointed out that a government-appointed planning inspector dismissed concerns about an increased flood risk as negligible when giving the scheme final approval. However, the studies carried out into the issue only looked at the impact of the bridge on Yarmouth and nearby Breydon Water, and critics say they overlook other low-lying parts of the river network, including several rivers which do not flow into Breydon Water. But what is so significant about the bridge? The crossing is about a mile from the mouth of the Yare, the only outlet into the North Sea for the entire Broads network of waterways. The bridge has two knuckles that jut into the river from either side, restricting its width from 89 metres to 55 metres. Water levels on the Broads have been extremely high in recent weeks, with flooding in many areas as a result of long periods of heavy rain and high tides. Villagers living along the waterways say that over the last 2 years, since construction started on the bridge, levels are taking longer to recede than in the past. They have suggested that the crossing could be reducing the amount of water that can flow downstream on each tide, prolonging the flooding.
Staff at the crisis-hit NHS walk-in centre have been told they will receive their Christmas pay packets after all, as a search continues for a new provider for the service. Following the collapse of One Norwich Practices, ONP, staff were previously told the organisation may not be able to pay them beyond the end of November. NHS bosses are still searching for a new provider to take over the services of the company, which include the walk-in centre, Norwich's busiest GP practice and vulnerable adult services. OMP workers, who threatened to walk out of their jobs, have been assured they will receive their December pay packets after all. The collapse was announced in October, with directors of the group saying it was no longer financially sustainable, leaving NHS bosses scrambling to commission a replacement. This search is being now understood to be nearing its conclusion, with officials currently undergoing a due diligence process to iron out final details with prospective replacement providers.
Elderly and vulnerable people in Norfolk have been warned not to fall victim to fraudsters as telephone landlines are set to change. Between now and 2025, most UK phone companies will be switching customers from traditional analogue landlines to digital technology, known as Voice over Internet Protocol, which requires broadband connection. Phone providers will be contacting customers about the change, and for most people, the switch will only involve plugging their landline phone into a broadband router instead of the wall-mounted socket. For customers who don't own a broadband router, their phone providers will still be able to set them up on the new landline. But Stephen Aquarone, the Liberal Democrats Party prospective candidate for North Norfolk, fears people could be at risk of being caught out by fraudsters looking to capitalise on the changeover. "My main concern is to protect vulnerable residents from fraudulent selling of unnecessary devices in anticipation of the change," he said. "Your phone provider will contact you. If you are ever in any doubt, hang up and call the number on your bill from your provider."
A call has been made for government intervention to stop council tax bills being hiked to cover the rising costs of trying to prevent flooding in Norfolk. Four of the county's MPs, including former Prime Minister Liz Truss, are urging Chancellor Jeremy Hunt to step in to review the way levies' internal drainage boards use to manage water levels are funded. There are more than 10 different such public body boards in Norfolk, managing flood risks and drainage in different catchment areas. Up until 2016, the levy those boards, which are public bodies, impose on the councils to pay for their work, such as building new pumping stations and clearing streams, was reimbursed by the government.
One of the world's largest collections of Ferguson tractor memorabilia attracted staggering bids from around the globe when it was auctioned in East Anglia. More than 800 items, amassed over 50 years by the late Warwickshire enthusiast Jim Russell, went under the hammer at Cheffin's Machinery Sale Ground at Sutton, near Ely. Auctioneers said many record prices were paid for sale lots, including toys, catalogues, instruction manuals and models. One of the most historically significant was a document containing the final signature written by Harry Ferguson, dated April 6, 1954, prior to his resignation as honorary chairman at Massey Harris Ferguson Engineering Limited. This was sold for £3,248. Other eye-catching prices included the £9,296, which one eager bidder paid for a Ferguson demonstration model instruction book, while a 1936 Ferguson Type A tractor sold for £35,736. A scratch-built 1933 Ferguson black tractor made £13,440, and a Ferguson demonstration model from 1949 fetched £11,220. High prices were also paid for models, including a Ferguson tractor die-cast by Micro Models, which made £2,240, and an Airfix Ferguson model tractor kit, which sold for £2,016.